Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to another episode of the Championship Roundtable podcast. You can reach the show on Twitter by following us at Championship Pod. Today is the final day of the league campaign in the Championship, so I'm hosting it. It's going to be an absolute honour to host it on the final day because there's a lot of talking points. I'm Lewis Shackshaft. You can follow me on Twitter also. My Twitter handle is just my name, at Lewis Shackshaft. I do a lot of blogging articles. I'm a Sheffield Wednesday fan, so you can check out my Sheffield Wednesday statistics on there. But we've got a fantastic guest today in our producer and founder of the Championship Roundtable, Jake, if you just want to introduce yourself, mate.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been on here. I've no affinity to the Championship other than being a neutral, which I think works pretty well on an episode like today. So we're just going to go through and talk about all the talking points of the season. You get me on Twitter at Jake Jackman with two N's, and I write for EPL Index and The Boot Room about various different things.
Yeah, it has been a while since we've talked on this podcast, I think, Jake. I know, obviously, we keep in touch off-air, but it's a pleasure to have you on. But first of all, what I'm going to do is, obviously, with it being the final day, it's been a full fixture list, so plenty of games. So I'm just going to reel off those results. I'm sure everyone knows the results, but then we'll discuss, you know, a few key fixtures and move on from there. So I'm going to start with, in this order, so obviously Birmingham beating Fulham 3-1. Huge result for Birmingham. That kept them, obviously, on a run of form. But for Fulham, ultimately meant there was no chance of promotion this time, only via the playoffs. Bolton, huge victory again, 3-2 to Nottingham Forest, which kept them out of the relegation zone and keeps them in the Championship next season. Brentford drew 1-1 with Hull City. Bristol City lost 3-2 at home to Sheffield United. Cardiff only managed to draw 0-0. I expected them to win today, but that saw them gain automatic promotion to the Premier League. Derby County gained their sixth playoff spot by beating Barnsley 4-1. Middlesbrough and Ipswich drew two apiece. Leeds with a 2-0 victory against QPR. Millwall, again, one of the surprise packages this season, beating Aston Villa 1-0. Preston North End just missed out on the playoffs because of Derby's victory, but Preston managed a 2-1 victory against Burton Albion, which saw Burton Albion therefore relegated into League One, unfortunately. Sheffield Wednesday, my team, a huge win. Can we play Norwich every week because we beat them 5-1 and always seem to demolish them recently. And Sunderland, bottom of the league, playing top of the league, Sunderland won 3-0. So is there any key fixtures and results there? What stand out for you, Jake? I'm sure there's a few.
Yeah, there's a lot of talking points from today. Obviously, the Sunderland one was quite a surprise, but I think three fixtures stick out to me of just three really good performances that ultimately led somewhere and got their team to what they were trying to do. So you had, or maybe the opposite of that as well, with the Fulham-Birmingham game, obviously that was a huge... And I think it will sting even worse for Fulham fans, the fact that if they would have won, they would have been promoted. I think it wouldn't have been so bad if Cardiff had gone and beaten Reading, but of course that didn't happen. So that's a bit of a stinger and doesn't set them into the playoffs too well, especially after their really good run. I don't think they should be overly disappointed. Obviously you're going to be disappointed, but the position they were in to get as close as they were is in a remarkable achievement, and they had to be near perfect. I think they dropped points to Brentford and then this game. It's only dropped points twice in the last few months, so it's incredible they got this close, but just to lose out like that is really gutting, and to lose 3-1 against Birmingham, who are near the bottom, it's not the greatest way to go into the playoffs, but they're still going there. It's a third place team and probably the favourites, but that was a really disappointing result for them. And then you had the Bolton result, which was obviously huge at the bottom of the table, coming back from 2-1 down in the last few minutes to get to get out up and above Barnsley and Burton, which was incredible. They've been really poor recently, and there's nothing showing that they would be the ones to climb out. I think there's Burton and Barnsley were showing more in recent weeks, so that was a really good achievement. And I think Phil Parkinson's done a really good job there to keep them up. And the other one would be Derby and Barnsley as well, the 4-1 win.
Yep.
That was a huge result, especially as we've spoken on this podcast in the last few weeks about them sort of bottling it and not being able to take that final step. But they've managed to do that, and they've got the sixth spot, so they could go into those playoffs with a bit of form now, 7 points in the last three. So that was a big result, especially against a team like Barnsley who were fighting to stay up. I think they would be disappointed that they didn't show more and maybe folded a little bit easily compared to Burton and Bolton, who both showed a little something today, even though Burton were ultimately failed to stay in the division. But they were the three main results for me, and they were the three results that really that turned what happened and decided the fates of several teams in the league.
Yeah, definitely. I know it's been a day of ifs and buts, and you know, one of the surprising things for me was I expected both Cardiff and Fulham win today, and neither of them did so, which was strange. But you know, Cardiff managed to gain automatic promotion, and we'll come on to that. And like you mentioned, the other one, what stood out was the big one, was obviously Bolton, with only about 6-7 minutes remaining, finding themselves 2-1 down to Forest, and managed to win in that game 3-2, and staying in this division is a huge result for them. So you know, hopefully they can only kick on next season in this division. But we'll start at the bottom, like we've just touched on. Obviously these results, and I know Sunderland have been down for a while, and you could say doomed since probably the beginning of the season, but confirmation now that Sunderland, Burton and Barnsley have all been relegated from this division. I'm guessing none of them come really as a surprise. They've always been at the foot of the table, but how do you think each team's going to fare in League One next season, Jake?
Yes, it's not an ultimate surprise to see any of them go down. I think Burton, although it looks at one point they were going to stay up today, I think they were always a little bit... I don't want to talk down about them and say they were too small for a division, but they were always, you know, the smallest team in the league with their budget and everything. They'd done so well to stay up last season. It was always going to be a tough ask to do it again. And the fact they came so close, I think they shouldn't be too disappointed. You'd hope if Nigel Clough stayed that they can sort of stabilise himself in League One and come back, or at least challenge to come back. You know, that would be really good if they could do that. And hopefully they're not a Yeovil situation where they drop back down.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
That would be a huge shame. Sunderland, their fate was sealed a couple of weeks ago now, and not a huge surprise. They had a lot of problems. I don't think Grayson was a good appointment. Coleman was a questionable one as well, considering, you know, his lack of success in club football. But you know, over the last week, they've got a lot of hope for the future. They've just, the takeover's about to go through. The old chairman Ellis Short has cleared out the debts, and they've got a starting point to go on from. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if they did what Blackburn and Wigan did and came straight back up. I think they need to get the right appointment. I've heard Mick McCarthy spoken about, and he'd be an excellent appointment if they managed.
If
he came in, I could see them coming straight back up and even challenging again for promotion the next season. So that's going to be an interesting one to follow and see what happens. I think their pulling power and even probably their finances compared to League One clubs, even though I know they've had a bit of financial problems, now they've got the debt out, they clear out some of the big earners, they should be able to comfortably bring in players that are good enough for League One and probably good enough for the Championship as well. Players will be willing to drop down to Sunderland in League One, so they'll be interesting to see how they do over the summer. Barnsley's a big disappointment, because I think I've always liked watching them. I think they've got some good players, and I thought in recent weeks they were going to turn it around. They got some good results, beating Sheffield United, wasn't it, a few weeks ago? That was a big result, coming back from 2-1 down. So I think you know, they showed a bit of fight, but ultimately they just conceded too many goals, and that's why they're going down. I don't think their managerial appointment was the best, and I'm not surprised to see he got sacked pretty quickly after the final whistle. But they've got a good squad of players, League One caliber easily, and I think they could sort of take a lot from Rotherham. They've managed to get back into the playoffs in League One. I could see Barnsley doing a similar thing. They've been up and down the Championship in League One for a while, so I think all these three clubs, although you know it's been a negative season, they've all got reasons to be optimistic for the future, as long as they make the right sort of appointments and they keep the people that they need to keep, like Burton and Nigel Clough. I think, you know, it's going to be, I think they'll all be stronger for going down. Maybe not stronger, but they're all still in a good position. None of them look completely dead and buried and like they're going to drop down the leagues. So I think I wouldn't be surprised to see all three of them challenging next season in League One.
Yeah, I agree completely with what you just said there, Jake. You know, I think Barnsley will definitely be fighting for promotion again next season. They play some good football, but like you said, they're conceding too many goals this season and it's not really a surprise they're going down. But with the takeover obviously in place now, I think, you know, they could potentially come back into this league in a few years, if not next season, even stronger. Sunderland, like we said, they're doomed, but they're going through a transition period. And like you say, if they get a decent manager in like McCarthy, I can only see them coming straight back up because they are a force. They're a huge club and, you know, they will come back into the Championship one day. I'm just guessing, obviously, from their point of view, that it'd rather be sooner rather than later. Burton are the only team that I've got relegated, really, that I feel sorry for, because I know Nigel Clough, like we said, you mentioned it, Jake, did a fantastic job last season keeping them up, just missed out staying up this season. And, you know, he's always had a lack of quality in the squad. And so he's really done well again this season, despite the relegation. And I think, you know, they play a decent brand of football. And again, I can see them fighting definitely for a top six position next season. So hopefully all the clubs that have gone down, you mentioned it, Jake, I think, you know, most of them are going to come back even stronger. So now we'll turn our attentions really to the top of the league. So it's been confirmed. We already knew about Wolverhampton Wanderers gaining promotion. Cardiff obviously only drew 0-0 today, but it was enough to see them gain promotion and clinch second spot. So obviously you're a Newcastle United fan, Jake. We won't touch on Newcastle as yet, but you know, how do you think Wolves and Cardiff will fare in the Premier League next season? You'll be good at answering this question, because obviously Newcastle got promoted last season and Cardiff and Wolves have got to do the same. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think it's getting a little bit... I think the gap between the Championship and the Premier League is getting a little bit smaller. I think a lot of that is down to the mismanagement of Premier League teams, and that's why you're seeing a lot of ones that have been there for a while getting relegated and having problems at the bottom of the league. You've seen Stoke and Swansea and West Brom and Southampton this season. You know, I think maybe that there is an opportunity for teams to go up and stay up. You've seen Brighton and Newcastle are both mathematically safe. Huddersfield got a good point today and look like they could also be safe, and that would be quite an achievement for all three promoted clubs to stay in the Premier League. So definitely gives Wolves and Cardiff some hope that they can go and do similar. I think Wolves are a completely different beast to most teams going up. I think they've got a lot of money behind them. They've got connection through Jorge Mendes. So I think they're going to do absolutely fine, probably make some eye-catching signings again in the summer and keep hold of the players that they want to keep. Whether they keep Ruben Neves is another question. I think he's probably going to leave for a bigger club this summer. Mm-hmm. But I think they're probably going to sign somebody equally talented, equally as, you know, eye-catching to replace him. So that I wouldn't be too worried about that as a Wolves fan, because they will make signings and I think they will be stronger for it. You've seen Jack Butland linked in recent weeks, so, you know, that shows the ambition and the money they've got. So I think they're going to be absolutely fine, and I wouldn't be surprised if they sort of pushed on and challenged in the top 10 in over the next few seasons. I definitely think they're in a really strong position. I think Nuno's a really good coach. I think they'll be slightly disappointed they didn't get to the 100-point mark today, but, you know, those things happen. It's weird that the only team that they failed to beat throughout the whole season in the Championship was Sunderland. They didn't get one win over them, which is crazy to think about. But, yeah, I think they'll be absolutely fine. Cardiff are more interesting. I don't think they've got a lot of what you'd call talent in their squad. I think they're very limited in their approach, and their tactics work well in the Championship. You know, they a lot of long ball, a lot of winning the second balls and using set pieces and wide areas to your advantage. I think they've got the lowest pass success rate, or lowest short passes
as well in
the league. I saw that. They showed a graphic compared them to Fulham, where Fulham played, you know, the best football, and they're leading in all these stats, and Cardiff were 24th. So Warnock's definitely not gone about it in the most entertaining way, but he's been effective. They've won 27 games, which is the second most in the league. So to go up in second place is probably what they deserved. I think he's done an amazing job taking over them last season when they were in the relegation zone, getting them to mid-table, bringing in some decent players. Nathaniel Mendes-Lang has been very good. Although when I was looking at their transfer business earlier, they did spend a lot of money on Lee Tomlin and Gary Medine, and neither of those really made an impact.
I'm just going to say Gary Medine makes me laugh because obviously he were firing in goals for Wednesday in League One, and now he finds himself as a Premier League player. And it just, you know, it seems crazy. I don't think he is a Premier League player, but fair play to the guy.
They spent $6 million on him, which is a lot more than they spent on any other player. And I know he did well at Bolton for the first half of the season, but yeah, he didn't score a single goal for them in the Championship. So if they're going to stay up, they're going to need to sort out their recruitment and bring in players that can sort of keep them up. If I was them, I'd maybe look to bring in the better quality Championship players, lower end of the Premier League, and maybe look to a view of saying, oh, relegation for next season may not be the worst thing. We can come back stronger, and maybe that would be the better time. I'm not sure they've got the... I think their squad needs a lot of work to stay in the Premier League. I don't think that their style of play will really, really suit the Premier League too well. There's a huge step up in quality of managers that Warnock's going to come up against, and he's never fared well in the Premier League, so it'll be interesting. I think he deserves an opportunity to have another go, and maybe look at Burnley as an example of how to do it. Even Newcastle this season, we've not played the best football. We've been given up possession and playing very functional style. I think he needs to look at those sort of examples in how they could stay up. There's no reason why they can't, but I just think it's going to be very tough for them unless they make some quality signings. I think they've got a lot of Championship players in their squad who've done really well. They deserve to go up, but I think it's going to be hard work to stay there. And I'd look at them with the view to maybe getting up and stabilising themselves in a Premier League team in the next 3 or 4 years rather than next year. I think that would be a more realistic aim for them. I don't know if you'd agree on that one, Louis.
Definitely. I'm listening to you there, and I'm like nodding my head because I completely agree. I think Cardiff will struggle next season. I can only see them finishing in the, let's say, bottom four. You know, if they were to escape relegation, it'd probably be just. The only thing with Cardiff in their favour, you know, it's happened this season, and I'll hold my hands up and say I didn't think Cardiff would sustain what they have done in the Championship and finishing second. I always thought at some point that they were going to drop off, even only a few months ago, and they haven't done that. And that's got to be because of Neil Warnock. And one of the things in Cardiff's favour next season is Warnock does get teams and players to overachieve. But like you said, Jake, he has generally struggled also in the Premier League. So I do fear for Cardiff getting promoted. Like you say, they need to bring in a lot of quality players. But then if I talk about Wolves, they're just, you know, they're on the other end of the scale. Wolves, for me, are a dark horse. I think this next 5 years, you know, Wolves could be a force to be reckoned with in the Premier League. You know, I'm not saying that they're going to go and win an FA Cup or get in the Champions League spot, but, you know, with the backing and the infrastructure and everything what's going on there with the chairman, it's, you know, it's going to be very interesting, and it's going to be good to watch because, you know, they've bought some players on loan this season that have been fantastic. They're going to go on to bigger and better things. But Wolves, with the money that they've got, they're going to be buying some eye-catching players. And next season, I think they'll be fine. You know, they might finish... I expect them to probably finish 12th, 13th, 14th in the Premier League. But so what? That's a fantastic position for a team like Wolves who've been promoted this season. And then, like I say, it's all about the next 5 years, I think, for Wolves. And like I say, potential dark horses to become a top 10 club for a long time in that league. I must agree with you, Jake, like what you've said there. But we'll move on to like a season review, really. So I want to discuss, Jake, if it's all right with you, what teams do you think have been the most entertaining to watch this season in the Championship? I've got three in mind. I'm interested to see if you've come up with similar clubs.
Well, I've got four in mind, so I think we're probably going to hit on a few similar ones.
Okay.
So I'll let you go for one first. You head off.
All right. The first one that I've gone for is Bristol City. Obviously, we all know what they did in the League Cup. They got to the semi-final, unfortunately got knocked out by Manchester City. But particularly up to, say, let's say January, February time from the start of the season, I thought, you know, Bristol City found themselves in second, didn't they, and around Christmas, and they were just playing some phenomenal football. So for me, Bristol City is definitely one of those teams.
Yeah, I'd agree. They've got some really good players. Bobby Reid has been a really, really good player to watch. And, you know, the FA Cup run was great to see, beating Manchester United and several other Premier League teams in the competition. So I think ultimately they just run out of steam, and it was similar to last season. They had a very poor run at the end of the season, and I think it's maybe something Lee Johnson needs to address, because it seems to be a running theme throughout his managerial career that this does happen. But they've been great to watch. There's been a lot of goals. Even today, you know, there's loads of goals. Ultimately, not the best result for them, but it was probably an entertaining watch. And I think they might struggle to keep some of their players. Joe Bryan's another one, their left back. He's a really, really good talent. But yeah, I think they've been one of the teams to watch this season, especially when you think over the last couple of seasons they've lost their top scorer twice. They lost Kodja a couple of seasons ago. Last summer they lost Abraham. Yeah, so it's not been easy for them, and they keep managing to, you know, punch above their weight. And I think there's reason to be optimistic for them. Still problems to be ironed out in the squad, still problems with Johnson, but I think they're a work in progress together, and I think he's quite a good manager to lead that. So I'm excited to see what happens to them next season.
Yeah, definitely. They've only improved from last season, and, you know, fair play to them. They've played some great football this season, and they were probably tipped to finish, you know, in bottom six this season. So they have overall, even though the disappointment since January, they've had a good season. Go on, you've chosen next club then. What's your team, Jake?
All right, well, let's go with Fulham. I think we've probably both got Fulham, so yeah. Let's talk about them. Got just a really likeable squad, you know, Ryan Sessegnon and Tom Cairney, both two really good players. Savisa Jokanović plays a good brand of football. They, like we spoke about earlier, they've been leading all the passing stats and chances created, stuff like that. And they, over the second half of the season, they've just been absolutely superb. They didn't get promotion today, which would have been annoying, but they had to be perfect to get it, and they so nearly were. So, you know, you've got to give a little credit for that. I think the signing of Mitrovic in January was a big turning point. Maybe they'll look back and say, we should have maybe gone for that striker in the summer. I know they tried with a couple of players and it didn't really work out, but they should have gone for that proven striker. Eventually, when they did it, all sort of clicked into gear, and you've got to hope that they can either go through the playoffs, because if they don't, they could lose a lot of those players. But to watch, they've probably been the best team to watch. 79 goals, second only to Wolves at the top. So they've had a really good season again. Probably everyone's favourite team to watch last season, and probably the same again. So it must be really fun to be a Fulham fan, if a little bit frustrating that they haven't got that final jump to the Premier League yet.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, I completely agree again. Yeah, Fulham, I love watching them. Obviously, players like Kenny and Sessegnon, who's setting the world alight at the minute. You know, I just enjoy watching them, and they were unlucky last season. And this season, you know, the only thing I fear for them now, they're in the playoffs again. You know, they're going to be one of the favourites, if not the favourite. Can they do it? I don't know. It'd be a shame, because I think everyone would like to see Fulham go up. I think they'd be worthy. They'd be a worthy Premier League team now, particularly with the players that they've got. And I know you touched on it, Jake, but they kind of need to go up now as well to keep players like Kearney and Sessegnon. And we'll see what happens with Mitrovic. But the other team, go on. You've got four teams. So if you pick another one then, Jake.
Well, I've got Wolves as well. They're another one of mine. If they were your third, I'm not sure. But they
are, yeah.
Yes. So I think the difference with Wolves is that, yes, they played a really attractive brand of football, but I think as well as that, it was the quality of their football as well. They just looked a cut above in this division. The way they were playing, the players they had, they just looked like they were just better than every other team, which is just it's really pleasing to watch at times, even if it is your team against it, maybe not so fun, but it's just really good to see players like Ruben Neves and Diego Jota in this league, and that, you know, they're Champions League caliber players, and that, I don't know how Wolves got them. Oh, I mean, I do, but I don't know if I agree with it, but yeah. It's been great to see them in the Championship and seeing, you know, what quality can do to a team, because Wolves didn't even get into the playoffs last season. Look at them this season; it's been cutting above the best team in the division. That's been great to watch their development. I think we all have our own thoughts on whether it should, you know, the sort of, it does leave a bad taste in the mouth a little bit, but their supporters are loving it, and they have every right to be.
Yeah, you can't look past Wolves. The league table don't lie; the top and the top for a reason, and not only have finish first, but the quality of the starting 11, like all around the pitch, that, you know, they've got some fantastic players, you know, Douglas, Jota, Caballero, Bolly, Bonatini, Neves, you know, the list is endless, really. And, you know, like you've just said, you put a team like that together and sometimes it doesn't work, but this season it has, and, you know, that's fair play to the manager for that, getting them to play together. I've not got a fourth team, Jake, so hit me with it.
Okay, my fourth team, Hull City. 70 goals scored, 70 goals conceded. If you want goals, that's where you go. And in their last sort of, in the last few weeks since April, they've had a 4-0, a 5-0, a 5-5, you know, a 2-2. What more do you want? That goals, entertainment is provided. They've got some great young players. Harry Wilson came in on loan, has done really well there. Abel Hernandez came in recently after recovering from injury, and he's a really good striker. Probably shouldn't be in the Championship. Maybe not, won't be next season. Jarrod Bowen didn't play it. He played rarely in the Premier League last season. Has come in, scored 14 goals. He's a really good talent. And yeah, I just think they've been really fun to watch. I really quite like Jackson Irvine as well, the guy they got from Burton. They've got, I just think, a really fun team to watch. As you know, you're going to get entertained if you're going to watch Hull. Mm-hmm. Probably one of our contenders for Game of the Season, which we'll come on to later. But I think, you know, most people, I know it's very basic to say, but people want to see goals when you watch football matches, and that there's been 140 in Hull City matches. So,
no, it's a great point. You know, it's something that never crossed my mind. And like you said there, we'll touch on one of the games of the season. But yeah, Hull City's fixtures do tend to have a hell of a lot of goals in them. But we're also going to talk about the surprise package from this season then. I've got four teams this time, Jake. How many have you got listed?
I don't have any, but I'm going to let you go. And then okay. Obviously, Cardiff, I think we can all agree they've been surprised.
I'm going to say we'll start at the top there. You know, Cardiff City, and I'm guessing unless you was a Cardiff fan, you probably would not have predicted that at the beginning of the season. And fair play again to Neil Warnock for getting that team to play like a team and achieve what they've achieved and finishing in second spot. So you can't really look past Cardiff City really as probably being the biggest surprise package. The other one that I've got down there is Millwall. I'm sure you'd agree with Millwall.
Yes, I would.
Yeah, Millwall have obviously, they're one of the teams what most people, again, would probably tip to finish in the bottom six. And Neil Harris has done a fantastic job there. Grinding out results, you know, 1-0s, 2-1s, picking up draws against supposedly bigger and better teams and finishing where they've done in the league. Fair play. Another team similar that I've wrote down, who've had a similar season to Millwall, is Preston. Preston North End. What are your thoughts on them, Jake?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I know James, our esteemed host, isn't here today, and he's been talking about these playoffs for a long time, and they got so close to getting in them, and ultimately that'll be disappointing for him, but they've been really good. Alex Neil was a bit of a weird appointment. It was a bit out there, I thought. He did really well with Norwich, but he hadn't really had a job since, and that was his only job he'd had in England, so it was a little bit left field, especially after Simon Grayson. It didn't seem like the same type of manager, but he's done a really good job there, made them a lot more entertaining to watch. They dominate possession now. They've got a plus 11 goal difference, and 2 points away from the playoffs. That's not a bad season at all. And you think they were a team that could push on because they've got a young squad. He's a manager that gets out there and scouts. You know, they bring in some players from Ireland and lower down the league. So be interested to see how they go over the summer. I think they've definitely been a surprise package. The one really frustrating thing for Preston fans is a few weeks ago they played Derby and lost 1-0 at home when they had 20 shots to Derby's 2.
Yeah, yeah.
That result now, looking back, just looks massive. And that any other result there would have got Preston in the playoffs. That is just, it's gutting to think about now, especially how dominant they were. But, you know, seventh place is not bad for them. It's a little bit frustrating today, but it's a building block and it's a foundation to build on under Alex Neil. So I think, yeah, they're definitely one that will push on and be one that you think could maybe even challenge for automatic succeeding if they get their recruitment right and maybe look at how Cardiff have done it and go in a similar sort of route.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, you've just mentioned there that Derby game, obviously, that seems silly because it's only one fixture, but that were probably a turning point in, you know, in this last month for them. And it's a shame they finished seventh, because I'd have liked to have seen Preston get that sixth spot, just, you know, maybe even just for James's sake, I suppose. But even if they had have got there, I don't think they got the quality to, you know, even have got to Wembley to the final. So it's a shame. But like you say, it's a starting block, and, you know, Alex Neil's done a fantastic job, and hopefully they can push on next season. And if they can go one step better and finish sixth next season, then fair play to them. Because I think this season they've really shown that they have got some good quality, and they play some really good football as well.
I think I'll say you're 4-4, because I think I know who it is, and I don't think you really want to say it. So I'll
you're right.
Them up.
Yes,
Sheffield United finishing in 10th position with 20 wins, which is the most of any team that didn't finish in the playoffs. So a very good season for them. Few too many losses in the end. Few too many goals conceded. But considering they've just come up from League One, an excellent first season. And again, like Preston, it's a foundation to build on. And they know they can compete in this division now. With a couple more additions, they can sort of challenge for promotion.
Yeah, I mean, Sheffield United, they were... I know they've dropped off, you know, in recent months. And like you say, they finished 10th. But at one point, they really did look like they were certain for playoffs. I mean, you know, when was it? Even in January, I remember that game where they went to Elland Road and they beat Leeds, and it were a real, you know, stamp their authority on this league, that game, really. I remember watching it and thinking, yeah, Sheffield United this season are the real deal, and they really could. At that point, I think they were close to second as well. So, yes, they've surprised me this season. Like I say, although they have dropped off a little, even 10th this season, you know, they'd have took that at the beginning. And they've established themselves as a decent championship side, especially, you know, the first season after coming up from League One. So fair play to those guys. We're now going to talk about, Jake, the most underperforming teams. I don't know if you've got any listed again this time, but I've got four. I'm going to start with the obvious one, is Sunderland. Bottom of the league, pretty much have been all season. I'm sure you can't disagree with me
on that one. 7 wins out of 46 games. It doesn't matter who you are. That's underperforming your level. If you see Burton with 10 wins, considering the difference in size of those clubs, it's a very poor season for Sunderland. And I think it's surprising, yes, but looking back at it, it's maybe a little bit predictable. They took a long time appointing a manager. There wasn't really any money there. They sort of cobbled together a squad, and they maintained that losing mentality, and a poor start was always going to mean it was going to be a struggling season for them. So yeah, it's quite a sad story. Even as a Newcastle fan, it's quite sad to see them go down. I mean, I've had my fun with Sunderland, but you don't want it. It's not nice to see at the end of the day, and you'd hope that they'll be able to get back. It is a warning to Premier League clubs, though, a big warning that you shouldn't take this league for granted, and it is very difficult. And, you know, the fact that we might see none of the promoted teams go back up is testament to that. And Sunderland are unfortunately going to go another division down and got an even lower base to start from. But maybe in the long run it'll be seen as a positive. They've managed to change ownership now. I'm not sure that would have happened if they would have stayed up. So there's reason to be optimistic now, but to be starting from the third tier rather than the second tier, it's very frustrating for them.
Yeah, you're right there. It is definitely a warning. You know, bad businessmen and bad business, look what can happen to you. And, you know, sometimes you do take chairmans for granted. And it's also a shame there's no, obviously, now I know, like we've touched on there, there's no North East Derby in terms of Newcastle playing Sunderland or even Middlesbrough playing Sunderland anymore. So I know you always want to laugh at your rivals, but this season, it's, you know, I kind of feel sorry for them. And I'm, like you said, Jake, you're a Newcastle fan, and you feel the same way. The other team that I believe...
Just before we move on, I just got another question for you. I've seen Chris Coleman linked to a few championship jobs recently. Do you think that he's got a future in this division? Did you see enough about him? Do you think he deserves another chance?
I do, actually. I'm a fan of Coleman. I quite like the guy. I think whoever took that role, similar to Grayson when he was at Sunderland, I think they were doomed anyway. I kind of think Coleman's hands were tied. I know we kind of touch on Coleman always doing quite well with Wales and before that at Fulham. But I think, yeah, I think Coleman can do a job in the Championship, but it has to be a certain type of job. I think he probably needs money at his disposal, like any manager, you could say. But I think if he is linked to a few Championship clubs, he deserves it because this last season, let's say at Sunderland, it's kind of been a wasted year for him. Because I think, like I say, if any manager had been there, it'd have been the same outcome. Do you think the same?
Yeah, I tend to agree. I just think another thing that shows the calibre of a manager is their decision on which jobs to take. And in this occasion, it was one he should never have taken, and that's probably going to go against him.
Yeah, good point.
At future jobs, whether he has to go in at the lower end of the Championship or maybe at the top end of League One, maybe he's probably not going to get I think he could have walked out of Wales and got a Premier League job, but it was a weird decision to take, and it's probably going to set him back. I quite like the way he talks. I quite like him as a character. I hope that he does, you know, this doesn't set him back too far, but it's certainly going to reduce the quality of jobs available to him.
No, that's a good point. He probably will end up with a lower league Championship team. But I wish him the best because, like I say, I think his hands were tied at Sunderland. But he's obviously moved on from that. So the other underperforming team I was going to mention, Jake, I've still got three, but I'm going to touch on, and I know you, before you start, you don't really like this team, and I know what you're going to say, but I'm going to say Reading. However, I know you're going to tell me that Reading were always going to be poor this season because last season they overachieved by a mile. Is that right?
I would definitely say that, Louis. This has been one of the most predictable declines in performance ever. Last season they were sort of near the bottom of the table in terms of shots taken and shots conceded. There was a reason for their success, and I don't know what it is. I think momentum, quality of finishing, confidence, they all played a part. And this season, it's been the complete opposite. I think they've got no confidence. They've stuck with Yapstam too long. I'm not sure Paul Clement is the best appointment for them either. I think they could be set for another season of struggle. But the most annoying thing for Reading fans is they actually spent a bit of money during the summer. They maybe not spent as much as they liked, but they spent a lot on Sonia Luko. They signed some decent players. He was obviously a standout, but you know they got Chris Martin as well. He came in for a little bit as well. He's been there, so they brought in some decent players, and they have underperformed. I think that penalty shootout at Wembley was their chance to progress, and that's set them back massively because they're probably not a top of the table team caliber at the moment. I'm not sure they're going to be there anytime soon with the appointment of Clement. It's going to be a big summer for them. It'll be interesting to see how they go, but I haven't been surprised to see them near the bottom of the table.
No, I know it's a strange one. We always mentioned that Reading last season, you know, they got to the playoff final, but they weren't particularly playing that well to get there. It was a bit of a strange one, and they've played similar football this season, but find themselves at the foot of the table. So that has been a strange one. The other two teams, I'll mention them both together, underperforming. My club, Sheffield Wednesday, and the other, Leeds United. I think both teams, you know, if you'd have predicted Sheffield Wednesday at the beginning of the season, I'd have definitely said top six again. Leeds United probably pushing top six also. I thought it was a bit of a surprise when Christiansen got the sack because I didn't, even though they had a few dips in form, I didn't think he was doing too badly. But Leeds United have probably finished about seven or eight places lower than they should have done. And same with Sheffield Wednesday, probably about 10 places lower than they should have done. So do you agree with those two as well?
Yeah, I agree. I think both of those have underperformed. I've got a couple more. And I think the fact that so many teams that we think have underperformed just shows you that that there's a lot of good teams in this division, and there's going to be have to be some that underperform and maybe don't do as well as you expect them to do. I thought Birmingham would do a lot better than they did. I thought they spent a lot of money during the summer, made some good signings. Hotter from Brentford, Carl Jenkinson as well. They're just two names that come up, but they made a lot of good signings, I thought, during the summer, and it just didn't click. Maybe they spent a little bit too much money and didn't focus on building a team. You know, Harry Redknapp wasn't the best manager, I don't think. Steve Cotterill either was a very good appointment. I think Gary Monk has been a really good appointment, and the fact they beat Fulham today is something to really build on. And I wouldn't be surprised to see them a lot higher up next season. I think they've got quite a good squad, and you know, got a good stadium. They've got I think they've got money behind them. I think they will spend again. So I think they've underperformed this season, but they've got genuine reason for hope next season with Gary Monk. I think they're going to be quite a fun team to watch. And the other one I've got that I thought had underperformed was Norwich City in 14th position. I think they were a team I expected to be challenging at the top. They've got a really good squad, got some really good young players. James Maddison is one that sticks out. I thought the appointment of Farke was maybe they were trying to replicate what David Wagner did, and it maybe hasn't worked out to the same success. That they're, you know, I think they had a very poor result today against Sheffield Wednesday. You know, what were your thoughts on them? Do you think their season and how they today?
Yeah, mentioning obviously Sheffield Wednesday, Norwich. I know Wednesday have put five past Norwich today, and the only thing is I can see light at the end of the tunnel with Sheffield Wednesday. Obviously this season they've underachieved, whereas with Norwich I fear for them a little bit. I'm not sure like what their identity is anymore. I'm not sure, you know, if they can turn from being, you know, bottom of the table team to a top of the table team next season. Whereas, like we've talked about, Leeds United, Birmingham, Sheffield Wednesday, I probably expect them to do that next season. But you know what, I could be completely wrong. I usually am. So I'll move on from that one. Talking about game of the season though, Jake, there's a few what stand out. We've touched on one already most recently. Any ideas or any game you'd like to put out there? What stands out for you?
Yeah, I think that five-five game, Holcim, was it Bristol City? Yeah, that was a huge, huge game. Loads of goals. Seemed that every, you know, one team would be leading, then another team would be leading, and it, you know, so much entertainment, and sort of backs up what I said about Hull City being so entertaining. In Bristol City as well, it was just two a game between two of the more entertaining teams to watch in the league, and you know, 10 goals, 5-5, you don't see them very often, so you've got to pick that one out as a big game. The game today, Bolton and Nottingham Forest, purely for the meet, you know, 5 goals, the meet and that, you know, what the result meant to Bolton. It's such a huge result. One of the games that really stands out to me. And another one that sort of sticks out is the Fulham 2-0 against Wolves, purely because I think that was the point when everybody started to take Fulham seriously and saw them as a genuine threat, even though they were way back, you know, in mid-table at that point. That they just looked a quality team, and to beat that Wolves team is no mean feat. So I think that was a very important and quite entertaining game, and sort of showed what Fulham was about, so that really sticks out as well.
Yeah, good shout. I've written a few down, and I think, you know, I'm not going to look past the Bristol City, Hull City 5-5 draw. I think that probably is the game of the season. Second to that, I would say, and it's going back a while before Christmas, but the Sheffield United 4, Fulham 5, where Clark got a hat-trick and Sessegnon got a hat-trick. That's another game what at the time I was expecting to be game of the season. If not, it probably is, you know, or on a par with the 5-5 draw. Another couple of games, it might surprise you, but I've got two Sunderland games, actually. Sunderland drew 3-3 with Middlesbrough. Sunderland managed to score a 96-minute equaliser through Callum McManaman. That was a game what stuck out for me.
Two red cards in that one as well, wasn't there?
I believe they were, yeah. So that one, I remember watching the highlights, and that was a fantastic game. And then the other one, quite recently as well, Sunderland drew 3-3 at Bristol City, and there were I think Sunderland scored two goals like in the last, was it 6 minutes or something, to get a draw. And that were like, at that point, there was still a chance that they could stay up. And I know, obviously, they're doomed now and they've gone down. But at that moment, it were like, for me, one of the best games of this season. So there's obviously been some great games this season, but those are the ones what stick out, and particularly the high-scoring games, the 5-5 and the 5-4. But let's talk about manager of the season. We've touched on a few already. I've got four written down. Anyone what stands out for you in particular, Jake?
Yeah, so obviously you've got to mention the two promoted managers, Nuno and Neil Warnock, both done excellent jobs. I think for me, Warnock probably takes it purely with what he's working with and the expectation levels at the start of the season. But Nuno, you know, he's coming to England. It's a new country. Coming into the Championship, it's not easy. We've seen four managers come in before. Walter Zenger at Wolves sticks out in recent memory, and they just didn't quite take to the league. So he's done really, really well. It looks like he's done his research. Looks a really intelligent bloke, and I think he won't look out of place in the Premier League. I think they probably appointed him with the view of being the Premier League manager, and he's now going to be there. And he's got a season at the club. He's built a rapport with the fans. He knows the squad. He's going to be struggling for this experience, similar to what Benitez was with Newcastle last season. I think it's a similar sort of story of how he's connected. So he's done a really, really good job. And Warnock, obviously, he's going to have so many plaudits over the next couple of weeks that, you know, he absolutely deserves it. Eight promotions. This one's one of the most unlikely ones, I think, he's managed. And to go
probably.
90 points. Great, great season. He's done excellently. And then I'd go Neil Harris. He probably deserves a mention at Millwall. Done a very, very good job given the resources they came up through the playoffs last season. Sort of got into those playoffs a little bit unexpectedly as well. I think they were a sixth place team. So to get up and finish eighth in the Championship is a fantastic achievement. So those are three that stick out for me. I don't know if you've got somebody else to mention.
The only one, I mean, obvious ones are Santo and Warnock. I've got down Harris. He's done a fantastic job at Millwall. The only other one that I've mentioned there is similar to Millwall, is Alex Neil. We've talked about him already, but he's done a fantastic job at Preston. And like I say, it's a bit of a shame they've missed out. But for them to finish seventh, cracking season, and best of luck to them for next season. So they're the four for me, Santo, Warnock, Harris, and Neil.
I would have thought your fourth was going to be Jukanovic. So would you not have him in there purely because they didn't get into that top two? That's a...
But possibly, yeah. You know, if I'm completely honest with you, I believed at the beginning of the season that, dare I say it, and I'm, you know, head in hands now, I thought Fulham and Sheffield Wednesday would have been definitely top four. So Fulham have kind of reached my expectations. Obviously, Sheffield Wednesday haven't, unfortunately. So, you know, with Jukanovic, he's kind of finished where I expected him to, even though he's still done really well, if that makes sense. So I've not put him on my list, but he's probably, if I were to carry on the list, in fifth or sixth position. But yeah, the ones I've gone for is Santo, Warnock, Harris and Neil. But yeah, definitely a good shout, Jake. Player of the season, let's touch on that. I mean, you know, this list could be endless, really. There's so many players you could choose from based on goals, assists, obviously, defensive performances, whatever you like, even goalkeepers. So who's the first name what springs to mind, Jake?
First name that springs to mind is Ruben Neves. I think he's been a class above in the middle of the park. If you're picking out the best player in the division, I think he is that. He scored some eye-catching goals. We'll probably come on to that later. But he's just... You know, just controlled the game in the middle of the park for Wolves. He's dominated so many midfields. He just looks so comfortable in every aspect of the game. And he looks every inch a Champions League player. So the fact that he's had a season in Championship is rather remarkable. And if you're giving it to the best player in the league, both in performances and in ability, I think it's definitely him. He's the first one that springs to mind. I've got a few more, but I'll let you throw a few names into the mix.
Well, I'll throw, based on goals and a few assists for these players, but I can't look past Neves, like you say, in terms of quality and ability and, you know, watching a player on the ball. Can't look past Neves. He's probably number one for me. But I think Vidra, top goal scorer in the league, 21 goals. I know he's suffered recently in last few years and he's underperformed, but 21 goals for Derby, that's pretty much seen them into the playoffs, so fair play to him. Bobby Reid, you know, Bobby Reid, goals and assists this season, 19 goals. He's been a standout player. I'm sure you'd agree with that one. Do you want to name a couple more, Jake?
Yeah, so Ryan Sessegnon probably deserves a mention. He won the official award, didn't he?
Am I right? He won the... We're going to talk about the young player of the season, but he won that award, yeah.
Yes, so he did get an award, I think. And he was in the running for the player of the season, so he probably deserves a mention. He's done very well. I think maybe he got that recognition because of his age and his nationality, maybe. But he had a fantastic season, way beyond what people would have expected. Maybe a little surprising one here, but you know, you have to look at those teams at the top of the table and the driving factors behind them. Like when I look at Aston Villa, I think Conor Hourihan's had a really, really good season. Maybe not player of the year ability, but I think he deserves to be
mentioned. Yeah,
discussed. He got a nice goal in the derby against Birmingham. He got 11 goals overall. Seems to be very good in all aspects of play. In the fact he's, you know, he came up with Barnes, he did really well there. Struggled a little bit to start off with at Villa, but now he seems to have really just found his mark and is a really key player on that team. So I think he's had a really, really good season and deserves a mention. You know, it's weird to look at a team that have been automatically promoted, but with Cardiff, I can't think of one single player to pick out. I think it's more of an effort. So
it is, but I have named the two. So I've gone for the centre-halves. I've gone for Bamba and Morrison. I think, although, you know, it's a team effort, but I think Bamba and Morrison, they just haven't conceded many goals this season. And I know you defend from the front, but I think, you know, Bamba's been exceptional. Morrison's, as a captain, has been exceptional. I think they're a couple of players that have stood out for Cardiff, even though the majority of them have done well, obviously, like collectively. Another player, I'll mention a couple more. Obviously, Jota at Wolves is another obvious one in terms of goals and assists. Leon Clark, special mention for him. I know, I hate to say it, Sheffield United player and former Wednesday player, but 19 goals this season. I just didn't think he had it in him. You know, I really thought Leon Clark was a League One player for life, if that makes sense. I thought he was, you know, 12, 14 goals a season in League One. To score 19 goals in the Championship, I'm holding my hands up and... You know, fair play to Leon Clark for having a cracking season. Another player I'll mention, I've got two more listed, so I'll quickly mention them, Jake. Madison at Norwich, obviously another youth player. I know he's been linked with teams like Liverpool now, 14 goals this season. He's been a breath of fresh air in that Norwich team. I'm sure you'd agree with that. And another one, what you might be surprised about, however, looking at his statistics, Traore at Middlesbrough. He's had 26 starts, and wait for it, in 26 starts, 14 Man of the Match awards. Now, that is unbelievable to say he's got 14 Man of the Match awards in 26 starts for Middlesbrough, 10 assists, 5 goals. I'm not saying he's been the best player this season, but I just had to mention his name.
He's very entertaining player to watch, I think. A lot.
Very effective, yes.
Yeah. Very. He's going to be... I wouldn't want to be coming up against him in the playoffs. He's one of those players that can win a tie purely on his own if he's up.
Yes, so I think definitely.
I agree, not a player of the season, but I think he's definitely going down to the Championship has helped him out and he's progressed and that's been good to see.
Have you got any more players you'd like to mention?
There's nobody that sticks out that we haven't sort of touched on. If we were doing half-season awards, which we're not, I think Ollie McBurnie's had a really good half-season despite Barnsley going down. And Harry Wilson as well. Hull has done really well in the half season he's been there. But I think there's a lot of good players in this league. A lot of very good players. And
it's not one.
But I think for me, Neves, it's head and shoulders above.
In terms of quality, yes. I mean, Neves for me as well. And then, like I say, you can pick about another 12 players in close second. You know what I mean? But talking young player, we've mentioned a couple of their names. The three young players what stood out and were all... obviously voted for the award, Sessegnon, Madison and Neves. I'll just quickly say, but for me, it's Sessegnon by a mile. Like, if for his age, 17 years of age, he turns 18, so I know that. But for what he's achieving this season with Fulham, he's just going to become a world beater, isn't he, Jake?
Yes.
You would think.
Yes, yeah. You'd hope so. It's interesting to see what his next move is going to be. You'd hope if Fulham go through the playoffs, you'd hope he'd stay there and sort of give it a crack in the Premier League with them. But I do worry what's going to happen if they don't go up and you know, money talks and everything. So
yeah, and one thing with Sessegnon, even though I love watching him play, and obviously he's going to be a Premier League player at some point, you would expect. I'm interested to see how much they actually pay for him, because he's one of those players, like, we have Russ on this show, and I've asked him many a time, like a 17-year-old achieving what he's achieving. Yes, it's the Championship, and he's got to step up another level yet, but he's obviously got many a year to do so. But what does a team play in, you know, with the money what's floating around now, this day and age, what does a team pay? Because even if you go out and spend 30, 40, 50, 60 million on a player like Sessegnon, you've still got your return of investment, even if it's in 8 years' time, you would think. So I think interested.
The thing with Sessegnon as well is age does really, it goes for and against Fulham, because I think, yes, there's so much potential, but there's also a lot of risk still attached to him at that age.
In terms of injury, yeah.
Developing,
yeah.
You know, all those things. And I think if I was a club looking to buy Sessegnon, I would look to buy him for around, you know, maybe 25, 30 million up front,
yep.
Add-ons involved, and then maybe even loaning him back to Fulham for 2 years. Another 2 years at Fulham. They can have him for another 2 years, and then, you know, you've still got a 19-year-old with 3-4 seasons of experience under his belt. I think something like that would be what I would think of doing, but, you know, clubs are impatient. Sometimes they don't want to do that. They're not now. So it's going to be interesting to see how he goes, because he is one of the, you know, the best, most exciting talents we've had come through in a number of years.
Are we sticking with Sessegnon then as the best young player in the,
yes,
the season?
Yes,
yeah, yeah. Goal of the season then. For me, I mean, I'll quickly run through this, but there's only one winner. I mean, there's been goals from what spring to mind: Madison, Adam Reach for Sheffield Wednesday. I've got to mention that one. Murphy for Norwich, Grealish at Villa, Evans for Sheffield United. But not long back, goal of the season for me, it's got to be Neves, right?
Yes, easily. That. Ridiculous. Probably one of the best goals I've ever seen. So it's definitely the best goal of the Championship season. The way he just sort of one touch over himself and then volley top. Yeah, you've got to be very, very good to pull that off. And the worst thing is, I think he could pull that off more often than not, which is really worrying, isn't it? So yeah,
that is worrying. Yeah, and if he can, that shows his quality, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
It has got everything about it, that goal, you know, technique, his ability, the distance, you know, the timing of the shot, like everything about it, it's just done to perfection. So let's stick with the Neves goal against Derby. Right, moving on, Jake. I know we've done a quite comprehensive season review there, but it's playoff chat. So confirmed now, we've got Derby County versus Fulham. Middlesbrough versus Aston Villa. What are your predictions, Jake? And who will win the playoffs? Who's getting promoted this season?
Yeah, it's going to be some fun playoffs. I think they're four good teams in their own right. Different sort of styles, different approaches. I think the Fulham Derby game is quite an interesting one. You know, I think all intents and purposes, everyone would favour Fulham for that and for good reason. But Derby have won two of their last three. They got a very comfortable victory on the final day. Seems to have, you know, kicked back in for them. The one point I do have with Derby is they've got one of the oldest squads in the league, and is that gonna come into it? I think they played the most amount of players over 30, or given the most amount of minutes to players over 30. So I don't know if that's sort of gonna come in and have any sort of impact on the tiredness of that. You know, a 46-game season holds, and even though it's only another three games, they're three emotional games, and you have to, you know, fully commit to them. And I think that's something Fulham didn't do last season. They were easily, you know, better than Reading, but they couldn't get the job done. So, and whether that's going to play on their minds, it's really interesting. Fulham and Derby have both had playoffs in recent memories. They've both gone, you know, they've both failed to get through them ultimately. So it'd be interesting to see which one sort of steps up. You've got, you know, Fulham, I'd expect them to go through, but anything can happen over two legs. And I think that's what Andy's been saying recently, is that you know, once you get into these playoffs, if any of these four teams can do it, then, you know, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I know from experience at Wednesday, it is a lottery. You know, each team's got a 25% of winning it. You would expect, like you've just said, Jake, Fulham to be firm favourites. But however, they've lost on the last day to Birmingham. Fulham lost. Derby won quite convincingly against Barnsley. You know, like I say, it's a lottery, and I don't know why, but I've got a sneaky feeling for Middlesbrough, you know? I don't know why. I can just... They've always been there and thereabouts, haven't they? If they haven't gone up, obviously they've come back down and been there and thereabouts. But with Middlesbrough, I think they've just got... They're finding, like, themselves and they're finding a bit of form at the right time. Villa's going to be tough. If there were one team that you wouldn't expect to get promoted, you would go with Derby. However, like we say, it's a lottery, and I'm going to be completely wrong on that part. You know, it'd probably be a Derby-Villa final, based on what I've said.
I think the thing with, I think the win is going to come out of that. That's the Villa-Middlesbrough semi-final. I think whichever one wins that, I think they're the one to go up. I think Steve Bruce has got, he's very good at getting promoted out of this league. He won the playoffs with Hull. He's got a good record at getting promoted. I think he knows what to do. And I think Villa have gone under the radar. You know, they've had a really good season. The fact they've not really been in the automatic race, they've not really been in any danger of not finishing in the top six, they've just sort of gone under the radar. And I think that could be a good thing for them. I don't think they've had the pressure or anything on them, because it's not, they haven't been the focus of any play promotion talk. They've just sort of been going about their business. And I think Tony Pulis is a very shrewd operator as well. I think those two managers could hold, whichever one gets into the final, I think they have a massive advantage over whichever one of Rowett and Jokanovic. I think the win is going to come out of that semi-final. If you go for me right now, I think Villa are going to go up purely through. So I think they've got a lot of talent as well, I think. And, you know, they've had a disappointing last couple of results, but before that they were very, very good. I think Villa, for me, are going to go up, and it's such a shame for Fulham, but they've had their chance today. They had their chance to go up.
Well, you know what? I've got a question for you here, and this is where I'm going to ask you. If Fulham fail to go up via the playoffs now, will they then become the new Derby?
Interesting one. I don't think so. I think Fulham is still going to be up there. I just think they're going to have to lose a couple of players and rebuild, which isn't ideal. Okay. It's not what they want to be doing. They'll lose a lot of momentum, a lot of confidence if they don't, and there'll probably be a hangover to an extent. But I think they'll be up. If they don't go up this season, they'll be up there again. Because if you think, yes, they might lose Kearney, they might lose Sessegnon, they might not be able to sign Mitrovic. But by losing those, you know, Sessegnon and Kearney, they would get a lot of money. A lot of money. And the thing with Fulham, they seem to be pretty good at renovating their squad, bringing in fresh players.
Yeah.
You know, they did it when McCormack and Dembele left. I wouldn't be surprised to see them do it again. You know, they wouldn't be... If they lost those two players and didn't sign Mitrovic, they wouldn't be my favourites to go up. But I think there's enough about the club; they're quite stable that they'll be back up there. But I think it would set them back not to go up massively. It would be a shame for them. But
yeah, it would be a shame. And I've got to agree with you. I think the winner will come from the Borough versus Villa semi-final. I'm putting my neck on the line, and I'm going to say that Middlesbrough will get promoted, and I'm guessing you're saying Villa, Jake.
Yes, I'm going Villa. I think they're going to do it.
Interesting. Unfortunately, Jake, we're out of time, so if you'd just like to tell our listeners where they can find you.
Yeah, you can get me on Twitter at Jake Chapman with two N's, all right, for EPL Index and The Boot Room. Also, feature on the Premier League podcast on the same channel, which I'll be doing later on, so check that one out as well. If you want to hear me talk all about Newcastle, it's always worth a listen.
Thank you, Jake. Thanks everyone for listening. Also, I've been your host. My name's Louis Shackshaft. You can find me on Twitter at Louis Shackshaft, or visit my website, which is louisshackshaft.com, where you can find all my articles, blogs, and Sheffield Wednesday statistics. I'm also doing a bit of work for the FA at the moment. I'm covering all the European championships, the under-17s. So I'm following the England games. I'll be doing match reports for them, so you can check out my Twitter and the feed that I'll be reporting on at those games. Surprisingly as well, I just need to mention, I've been nominated for the Football Blog Awards. So if you don't mind going on my Twitter page, there's a link on there. You can vote for me if you wish. I'm not demanding. But for the best new football blog, so you can click on the link, just click my name, Louis Shackshaft Blog, and a vote would be much appreciated. But I want to thank everyone for listening. We're going to be covering the playoff semi-finals on the Championship pod also. So you'll probably hear James hosting again in the short-term future. But thanks again, and join us next time.